So I was on the website for one of the local newspapers, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. My eyes came across the headline of an article that was written by one Garrison Keillor of Lake Wobegon fame. You may have heard of Garrison Keillor. If you've listened to 99.5 on Saturday afternoons, you've definitely heard Garrison Keillor. And the title of it was one that jumped out to me. I printed it out here, and I said, well, I need to read this. The title of his message was, "You Don't Have to Believe in Christmas." That was Garrison Keillor's message to the faithful. You don't have to believe in Christmas. And he ended this article by saying, "Last week in New York, I stood in a crowd of strangers, some believers, others not, and someone started singing about the calmness and brightness, the radiant beams, and everyone sang along, quietly a cappella, and we were united in a common mystery. There it is. Unto you a child is born in the city of David. Make of it what you will. God bless you all, each one." I thought, interesting. Interesting perspective on the Christmas story. I think most of you sitting here would understand that it is a faulty perspective on the Christmas story. But I want to take an aspect of why that is such a faulty perspective of what Christmas is and what it means, what the birth of God's Son means. And I want to do so from a passage that we may not always look at when it comes to Christmas. I remember growing up for Christmas Eve, we would come and have a family dinner. And at the end of the family dinner, my father would have one of his brothers-in-law, read Luke chapter 2. And that would be our time to go through and hear the Christmas story once again. We think of the shepherds. We think of the angels. We think of coming to Bethlehem. We think of Simeon in the temple and Anna in the temple. And though we know the story, we may not always as often, it appears to me, go to Matthew. Matthew. Now, what happens in Matthew? What happens in the Matthew account? We remember the story of those wise men. We say it's three. We don't know how many it actually was. But those wise men coming to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12, stopping in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the King of the Jews?" And what I'd like to focus on today in the brief few moments that we have here is to look at not a common reaction to the birth of Jesus Christ, whether you believe or don't. What we don't see is a common response to the news that a king has arrived. We see very, actually, discordant and dissimilar responses. If you have your Bibles here, you can look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Now we see there already a couple different responses to the news of Jesus Christ. One, the wise men making a long journey to say, "Hey, where is he? We've come, we want to find him. Where is this King of the Jews?" We see the reaction of Herod and indeed all of Jerusalem to be troubled. That word means to be agitated, to get worked up, to get stressed out about this news. And then what seems to be the reaction of the scribes and rulers of the people who in Herod comes to them and says, "Hey, where is this king going to be born?" They say, "Oh, in Bethlehem." And leave it there. Fairly indifferent, fairly laid back, not too concerned about this news. Now, I'd like us just to reflect briefly here on the recognition that underlies all of these different reactions, particularly the men that were troubled and agitated, and the one that were making a long journey to worship. What separates these people? There is a common recognition beneath both of these reactions. It is that a king has been born. A king. That's what the wise men came to say. They said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" We don't know how they knew as the king of the Jews. They may have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, perhaps going back to Daniel of the Messiah coming. They had seen a star that indicated to them, a brightness in the heavens that indicated to them that a Messiah, this king, had been born. Notice that Scripture doesn't say that this star led them to Jerusalem. They just knew to go to Jerusalem. That was where the king was going to be born. They understood that. And there they come. They knew there was a king. What underlied Herod's reaction of agitation and worry and concern and stress? The recognition that a king had been born. Wait, there's a king of the Jews? I have worked hard, Herod would have said, to be called the king of the Jews. I would have been had to grovel at the feet of the Romans to be called and looked at as the king of the Jews. And now there's a new king of the Jews. This recognition, friends, divides us into two starkly different camps in this Christmas season. There are those like Garrison Keillor and others who say we can unite around a common mystery. We can unite around this very nice idea of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But no, not when we take seriously the idea that a king has been born. A Messiah has been born. You see, because along with this common recognition, there was a very dissimilar response. One looks at a king coming and saying, "I've got to go worship. I've got to go submit. I've got to go give gifts." To the one, the news that a king has been born says, "Let me go find him so I can kill him. Let me go find him so I can end that threat to my supremacy, to my sovereignty." And you see, friend, wherever it's taken seriously that Jesus Christ came not simply to be our Savior, though he did, not simply to be our peace, though he did. Not simply to bring joy, that we might have joy and life more abundantly, though he did. Not simply to be any of those things, but he came to be king. He came to set up a kingdom in the hearts of men and women that one day would burst forth into a glorious kingdom here on earth that covers all that we see and know, that one day will be recognized as the kingdoms of our Lord becoming the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. You see, friends, that destroys any idea of a common mystery in Christmas. That destroys any idea of this unity that we all share in Christmas around Christmas trees and snowmen and jingle bells and the like. No, no. Because when we take seriously that a king is here, that a king has come who intends to set up a worldwide kingdom, we're immediately confronted with the response. Is our response that of the wise men who say, "I will worship you and submit"? Or is our response that of the Herod and those in Jerusalem who say, "I will not submit because I sit on the throne of my life. I reign as king for me"? You see this very, very different response. But notice third here, the remarkable reality for these wise men. Herod is agitated. Herod is troubled. Jesus is born. The wise men now see the star come and be right over the place where Jesus is lying. And then let's take up the narrative right there. What does Scripture say here in Matthew chapter 2? Says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy," in verse 10. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." By the way, it says there, the house. This is likely months after Jesus had actually been born in the nativity. They had likely found a place to stay, a house in Bethlehem, "and fell down and worshipped him." Worshipped him. Now think about this for a moment. It's one thing for us to say, I will worship Jesus Christ as everyone will one day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is, that He is Christ to the glory of God the Father. It's another thing for us to fall down as John did when he sees the vision of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and falls down and worships and says, "You are remarkable." They see the glory bursting through him. But do you see here that the wise men worshiped a baby? They worshiped an infant. Here were men of intellect, men of renown, men of wisdom, perhaps even kings themselves, coming to a baby, falling down in humility and weakness and saying, "I, in essence, am your subject. I am going to be giving my honor and prestige to this infant." Why did they do that? Was there anything remarkably glorious about Jesus Christ the infant? Was there a light shining off his face? Or was there some kind of beautiful manifestation of all his attributes there? No. Why did they worship him? Because he had a title. They said, "You're king. It doesn't matter whether I see you as king right now. You're king. And so I will worship." Now, friends, think of the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that we have in the entire revelation of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is to us in Scripture. We see not just what these wise men saw in a few prophecies, perhaps, and then seeing an infant there in front of them. We have the Word of God in which Jesus Christ is held forth as glorious in all his manifestation, in all his attributes. We see him one day, the prophecy of him coming to be seen and worshipped as King and Lord. So what I hold before you this Christmas is to say, are we going to be those who don't grapple with the fact that a King has come? Are we going to be those who are in essence indifferent? Friends, it's one thing to come and to sing of silent nights, to sing of round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so precious and mild. That's one thing. But it's another thing to come as the wise men did. Come as the wise men bearing gifts and say, "You are my King. You are my Lord." In other words, it's easy to romanticize the Christmas story. Yes, it's a wonderful story. Yes, it's true. Yes, praise God that he who was rich beyond all measure, all for our sakes, became poor. And yet, that is only part of the story. The gospel comes to show us the rest of the story. That one day he will come back to be king for all that we see here. One day he will be seen truly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, friends, Christmas is not simply a common mystery whether you believe or not believe. And Christmas is not simply a story about a baby in a manger. It's not simply a story about this infant. It's a story about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who deserves, who indeed requires your worship, who brought these wise men from afar so that they might worship. And who one day, I trust, years ago, brought you to the point where you would worship him. So I invite you at the end of this Christmas Eve service to pause for a moment, to come alongside those wise men, if you will, to bow in your hearts, to kneel before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worship him, but not simply as the one in the manger. But bow your heart before him because he is your king. You bow before him because you recognize that you owe him complete allegiance, complete sovereignty, complete trust and obedience. Will you come with me this afternoon along with those wise men? Let's take a few moments right now, just in the silence of our own hearts, and let's ask God to bring us to that place of worship, not simply the worship of a Savior, though yes, he was, not simply the worship of our reconciler to God, though he was, but the worship of our King. Let's take a few moments. Father, may we bow before your Son this afternoon in worship, not just in thought, not just in word, but in the very attitudes and actions of our lives as we leave here this afternoon. May we truly know the reality of Jesus the King. Lord, I pray that if there's one here this afternoon who has never come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I pray that they would come in and enter by faith even today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.